Hear the word of God.
What good is it, my brothers and sisters, if you say you have faith, but do not have works? Can faith save you? If a brother or sister is naked and lacks daily food, and one of you says to them, "Go in peace, keep warm, and eat your fill," and yet you do not supply their bodily needs, what is the good of that? So faith by itself, if it has no works, is dead. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. I'd like to invite our first three speakers to come forward, Roy and Greg and Kelsey. We have indeed just returned last night from a mission trip to Puerto Rico. This is the 15th consecutive summer in which young people from our church have gone to various corners of the United States on a mission trip. And well over 150 kids have been on a mission trip, most of them on several in that time. And today we celebrate that by reporting back to you. Why Puerto Rico? Good question. Many people would sort of raise an eyebrow, say, Puerto Rico, a mission trip, as though you're going to spend all your time on the beach. Well, we did spend some time on the beach, but not much. Most of the time was spent at Campamento El Guasio, which is a Presbyterian camp in the hills of the western section of the island, where the Presbyterians have been for generations there. And among those generations is the Rodriguez family, who is a part of our church here in Wildwood. The Rodriguez family, Jose and Lisette, and their children, Manny, Cesar, and Lucien, became part of our congregation about 3 years ago. And their kids are part of the youth group. And it seemed that this was a good opportunity to go and do God's work in a place and experience a little different culture, as we try to do every 3 years or so with our young people. And the Rodriguez connection in Puerto Rico made for a truly rich experience for us all. And we're going to hear about that now, first from Roy Pinar, who's going to tell us about the work that we did there at Campamento El Guasio, which is something like Saugatuck is to Wildwood. It's the place where Puerto Rican Presbyterian churches in Puerto Rico send their children every summer to camp. So, Roy?
Hola, hola, ¿cómo estás? I'm Roy Pinar, and I'm a senior. This is my fourth mission trip.
Can I interrupt you 1 second? Sure. I neglected to say that we have some photographs that were taken by Lauren Hilty, one of our advisors, and Alex Sanello, one of our youth. And they probably were up pretty late last night putting together some photographs for you to see. So, sorry.
It's okay.
Carry on.
So, for the three previous years, I've went on mission trips. We went to various locations of the South in the States. And then when it was announced that we were going to Puerto Rico, I was more than thrilled because we were going to be able to spread the work of God in another part of the world, and being able to experience a different cultural background is going to be awesome. So we got there Saturday night, and we started work on Monday, and we worked till Friday. And all of us were divided up into many different work groups, including floor tiling, bathroom tiling, window demolition, reconstruction, roof tarring, door insulation, and ceiling insulation. So it sounds like a lot of work, but with all 57 of us, you know, anxious and ready to go, we were ready for it. We were pumped. So after getting less than 6 hours of sleep every night, we would wake up around 7 and have breakfast at 8, and then we worked after that till around 12 or 12:30 and had lunch, and then worked again till around 5. And the thing, this trip is different than the others because all the work sites were on the camp. We didn't have to travel there. So that saved us probably like an hour or so, since usually it would take us like a half an hour to get there, half an hour back. So we actually worked longer and in worse conditions, since it was around 100 degrees, sunny and humid all the days. And it only rained a couple times, but that did not really affect us working. So for a group like us, these conditions actually persuaded us to work even harder, and it pumped us up even more. And every project but painting was in the same house down in the main area of the camp. So we all of our different projects kind of had to overlap each other. So we had to wait for some projects to get done, and that actually made us stronger in a way, because we all had to work together to get this one big project done. So I started with the ceiling installation, and we actually finished that within the first day. So after that, the people in my group kind of dispersed to help the others. And it was really interesting to see that. In the beginning of the week, everyone was assigned to a specific work project. But by the end, people were wherever work was needed the most. So instead of letting work find us, we were finding the work, which is really cool. And a lot of the jobs we did, we had to use the great hammer drill, which is now my favorite tool. It's so cool when you have this jackhammer thing. Exactly, right there. Perfect timing. So it would be like 30 seconds and try to chisel the wall of concrete, get some concrete out so we can put the windows or the door in. And after that 30 seconds, your arms would just be so sore. It's total upper body workout, and just you'd be raining sweat. So the second day of chiseling and whatnot, Brownie and Greg Brill came up to me and said that there's a new project to be done, and it was a door installation. So, and he told me that me and a couple others that this was going to be our project, that we're in charge of this. And this, I felt really good and responsible for this, that I was so determined to get this project done. So by Thursday, we've been working on this door, me, David Amy, and Caitlin Harine, and Greg Brill. And we were chiseling till we were in pain, and this door was just giving us so many problems. First of all, the door they gave us to install was too big for it to fit, so we had to wait and get another door. And then the concrete was just stronger than the rest of the wall, so it was almost impossible to just get to chisel that off and screw in the nails. So, but we were still so determined to get this done. So at this point in the day on Thursday, people already went in for lunch, and our project, we're the only ones left. And we're just like, no, we're going to get this done now. We need to get this done now so we can just feel accomplished. So against the wall, against the heat and our pain, we used all our might to get in the last screw. And that after that, we were just so overjoyed. And as I said before, this was my fourth trip, but it was definitely the most satisfying. And when Greg Bostrom asked me to do a sermon, he asked me what the best part of each mission trip is for me. And it's definitely the self-fulfillment I receive due to the sense of accomplishment and knowing that we have improved the lives of others. And that for years and decades, that this door, the floor, the bathroom, and all the other rooms in the house that we built or fixed up will be used for others in their spiritual journey with God, and that we, Wildwood Presbyterian Church, will always be a part of that. And that feeling is just indescribably enjoying, and that is why I keep on coming back on these physically painful trips. And knowing that we can accomplish brings us all closer together as a family. And without the love and the faith of this group and with God, we would not be able to do what we just did. And Andrew Mott tells us every year that the hosts of these projects are always surprised of what we're capable of. And now I know why. Because when you have such a positive energy as us Wildfire have, between the group, it's to complete this goal, it is more difficult not working than it is actually working. Thank you.
Thank you, Roy. We know Greg Dana as our volunteer parish associate, and we know that he'll be joining our staff on a quarter-time basis in September. But today he's a three-time mission trip advisor and mission trip dad. So, Greg?
I asked Greg for a chance to stand here for a moment this morning and thank all of you for supporting our mission trips here at Wildwood Presbyterian Church. You're the ones that make it possible for us to go, with your participation in our car washes and silent auctions and all the other ways that you give us the gift of going on these mission trips every year. It's a wonderful thing. It takes a tremendous amount of work, and we owe a special debt of gratitude to the adults, especially Andrew Mott, for his organizing capacities to keep us all in the right place at the right time with the right tools in our hands. It's a wonderful thing to be with these young people, and I wish that all of you, especially those of you who are parents, could be the proverbial fly on the wall watching the young people work and getting to know them as we adults who go on the trip get to know them. If you've loved a teenager, or if you have a distinct memory of your own teenage years, you probably know something about the tension that can arise when you're trying to get a teenager to grow up in the wonderful way that they can. I know once in a while I'll tell Christina that I think it's time for her to clean her room or for her to stop watching mindless television, you know the list. And I explain fully to her how come I'm right about that, and then she explains to me how she sees it, well, and there you go. So those moments of tension are part of life with teenagers, except on the mission trip, they just weren't there. And it's so amazing to see them functioning so beautifully and so well in sometimes really quite difficult circumstances. It was hot, it was humid, some of the jobs were just nasty, some of the jobs required real care and precision. Some of the jobs, like my crew, require brute force. Roy, I want one of those tools also. Yes. But it was a blessing to be there and to see them and know them in the way that we adults can. You know, the New Testament is completely silent about the fact that Jesus knew how to swing a hammer. But growing up in the carpenter's home, you've got to know that Jesus could pound a nail. And so when I'm there, either with a hammer in my own hands or even more so watching the young people, it makes me think that Jesus might have wanted to be there with us, and maybe in some way was really there with us on this mission trip, serving God with our hands and our hammers and our power tools. So thank you so much for making it possible for all of us to have this rich, wonderful mission trip experience.
I'd like to ask all of our advisors who went on the trip, who gave a week of their vacations and their lives to stand, and that is Andrew Mott on the end there. So. And that was Andrew Mott on the end there, who is the senior high coordinator, and thus the burden of most of the organizing fell on him. So, well done. It wasn't all work, and Kelsey Steffens will now tell us a little bit about that.
As with all mission trips, the mission is always the most important part of it. We're there to work, and we all know it. And it's really a beautiful thing that we all kind of band together and do so much work in order to help other people. It's a really beautiful thing. But once we're done with our work, we do have a lot of fun on our own time. We play games that are both advisor-sanctioned and non-advisor-sanctioned, as some of them are. Some of you have probably heard about the game that we play called Buck Buck. It's not very church-related, and if other youth groups or other churches were to watch us play Buck Buck, I imagine they would be extremely confused. There's two teams in Buck Buck. One of them will scoot together, get very close to each other, and then bend over to make what is called a train. The other team will take turns jumping, running, and then jumping on top of the train with the ultimate goal to make the train fall over. Most of the time what happens is they pile too high and just the pile ends up falling to the ground. It happens every year that one of the underclassmen who haven't played the game before will ask us a question. They'll be like, well, what happens if someone gets hurt? There's no answer to that question because it does happen and it's part of the game. We also play a game called Human Foosball, and we get into two teams just like any other game. Like the foosball table, we'll get in the lines with it and just play the game as people, and we play with a beach ball. Last year in West Virginia, we were playing inside of a gym, One of us decided to kick the ball straight up at the ceiling. It went up into the rafters and popped and then fell down. It was completely useless to us. That ended the game. This year, we decided to play it outside. We figured that it would be a lot less dangerous with nothing really to pop it around. Even the roofs around us were slanted, so they would just roll right off the roof if it got up there, and it did once. But we didn't take into account the fact that there were fences around, and the ball did land directly on top of a fence, and thus ended our game this year. We also went to the beach a couple times this week, and that was actually the most important kind of fun that we had, to me anyway. Before we went to the beach, Andrew Mott gave us a speech. He told us that there were places to jump off, like piers and stuff, into the water, but he told us that there were two stipulations to this. One was we couldn't dive, obviously because it's dangerous, and the second one was that when we jumped in, we had to be prepared to hit something. So that was a nice little pep talk right there. So we get to the beach, and we're having fun jumping off the small piers, you know, little running start or whatever, jump 5 feet into about 10 feet of water. It was fun for a while, but as teenagers do, we got bored. And there was one pier that ran from the beach, and it went way out into the water, and we decided that we were going to go jump off that one. So we start walking down the pier, and like all the way at the end of the pier, we're watching Puerto Rican, probably teenagers, 20-year-olds out there playing around, jumping off, doing flips and everything. Looked like a lot of fun. They looked like little monkeys out there. They'd obviously been playing around on it a lot of their lives. But we ran right into a wall, literally, not a figurative wall, an actual wall. It was painted bright yellow, it was steel, and it was about 10 feet tall. It had obviously been put there to keep people off of that pier. If you know teenagers, you know that one of our favorite pastimes is finding ways to get around authority. We take great pride in it. And so we found a way to get around the wall. The first one was pretty easy. There was actually a board sticking outside of the side of the pier. The board was broken and wet, but it was still pretty easy to just scoot around the edge of the wall, and we eventually all got to the other side. At the very end of the pier, when we got there, there was another wall, and we could stay on one side of it and jump off there. It was just as fun jumping off there. It was about 8 or 9 feet above the water. Or you could figure out a way to get around that wall. That wall was also 10 feet tall. It's extended about 2 to 3 feet on either direction of the pier, so there was no way to like scoot around it. No easy way anyway. But of course, again, all the Puerto Ricans out there were just swinging around this thing like it was no problem at all. So we decided that we were going to try that too. And it was scary. You have to lean way out over the water, wrap your arms around the side of this wall, grab onto like a 2.5-inch little ledge there. There weren't handles or anything, of course. And then swing your other leg around. And eventually, even though it's pretty scary, you do get to the other side. And once you're on the other side, you're pretty much free. You can look out at the giant expanse of an ocean, and it's beautiful. There's another like cement block even farther that you can walk over, like these like metal strips that you can walk on to get there. Or you can climb like the support ledges on the back of the giant wall and jump off the top of it, probably about 18 feet above the water. And I think that those of us who got up the courage to jump off this giant thing actually had one of the best experiences, because once you jump off of it, there is a split second pretty much in the middle of your fall where you realize you're falling a lot longer than you expected to. But it's in that 1 second that you feel like you're flying. It's a really amazing feeling. It's complete freedom. And then you eventually hit the cool, welcoming, refreshing water. The thing is, everybody has those walls in their life, the walls that seem impossible to get around. There are barriers against us trying to get to the success, the freedom, our ultimate goal. Everybody in the group who tried to get around the wall got around with no mishaps, and that's because all of us worked together. It didn't matter who it was or how long it took. We would stand out there for 20 minutes doing everything we could to get everybody around this wall, whether it was talking them through it over and over again, holding them so they felt secure up against the wall, or reaching around with hands and pulling them over. It was incredible. And that's really what this group does. This group allows us to get around all of the barriers in our life. It allows us to work together. It allows us to get to our ultimate success. The mission trip, it's about working. It's about helping people, but it's also about working together as a group, and it's about this group making us feel free. So, thank you.
Our next speakers come forward. Thank you, Kelsey, for making all of our parents think twice about sending their kids with us ever again. We're now going to hear from Beth Valerial, whom some of you know as Dale and Liz Hosley's granddaughter, about her experience as a first-time mission tripper. Beth?
Hi, everybody. I never thought that I'd be up here talking about my first mission trip with these people, because my grandparents really wanted me to go to youth group for a long time, but I didn't really start going until March because I was really intimidated and nervous about going because everybody was so close and I didn't really know that many people. And I was really scared that if I went, I would be judged or nobody would talk to me, but it turns out that everybody was really accepting of me and everybody talked to me, and there wasn't a person who was rude or didn't reach out to me and make sure that they talked to me, because everybody got to know me. And so I went to group a few times, and I was invited to go on the mission trip, and I was really scared to go so far away from my home and my family with everyone, because I was out of my comfort zone and I was still kind of iffy about it. But as soon as we were on the plane, I started to feel at home with everyone, and I started feeling like I was making new friends that were really amazing, and I got really close to people. Closer than I have with friends that I'd grown up with. Like, I feel like I knew everybody for way longer than I have, and I felt like I'd been friends with them for years. Everybody sort of was really welcoming of the fact that I was new, and everybody made sure that everybody else had something to do on the job. And there was a lot of people and not that many jobs, but nobody was really left out. And everybody worked together and made sure that everyone was doing what they were supposed to and that all the jobs got done and done well. Everybody has really great work ethic, and when they set their minds to it, they could do amazing things. And I was really honored that I got to go to Puerto Rico with them and spend time with these people, because they're really fantastic. And I knew that this wasn't something normal or common, that all of these kids and teenagers could go somewhere and kind of get things done without too many people telling them what to do or instructing them. And I think that's why I was so happy to be a part of it, because it doesn't happen very often, and I knew that it was something special that you can't find anywhere else but here. To all the seniors, good luck again. And thank you guys for being so great and accepting me for who I was. And I've been trying to find myself in the last year, and these people really helped me do that, and I really feel like I belong somewhere now. Thank you.
Thank you, Beth. And Ryan Plath will now tell us a little bit about the spiritual side.
Hello. Last week when we first arrived in Puerto Rico, some of us had our seniors and they've been there on 4 mission trips and really knew everyone and kind of knew what to expect. Other of us, like Beth and the other first timers and freshmen, have never been there before. So throughout the week we started working. We did a lot of different random work, like tarring on the roof in the 90 degrees heat, like really humid. Getting nitty gritty with like the bathroom tiles and pulling them up and replacing them, and busting concrete with the infamous concrete buster tool. So by the end of the week, we'd formed like a lot of really strong bonds. People had talked to most everyone else and gotten really close. So on Friday, starting at like 12 o'clock at night, or probably even a little earlier, till 5 in the morning, we all did rope. Physically, all rope really is just sitting around a piece of rope on the outside and talking. But spiritually, it means a lot more. With the rope, you could say anything you want. You'd say, talk about what happened to you that day, small things. You could even talk about, you know, confessions or like real problems that you have in your life, just the people, if you want them to support you and understand you. So what the rope represents is our connection to each other. It represents that we're all connected and that we all are there for each other and to support each other. Last night when I was thinking, though, I was thinking the rope has kind of something more to it that I noticed this year. I noticed that the rope, it kind of represents almost the heart of the group. I never really heard anyone said this before, but probably someone said it, like Greg Brill or something during Sunday school. It's probably like sleeping or something, you know. But I think it has the heart of the group because every year the seniors move on and we're all like, oh no, you know, all these great people are leaving. The group is going to be so different and not good. But every year it's still great and Mission Trip is still so fun. And I think that the reason because of this is because the group still maintains the same heart and the same attitude of what it's all about. And I think the rope and the Mission Trip, that's what represents that. So I think a lot of people have said that Mission Trip and rope is a life-changing experience. And it has been for me. Actually, last year was my first time going. And after going last year, it really changed my attitude on things. And it made me like, no, I wanted to spend my time with this group. And I just love Mission Trip and all that stuff. So I just think it's great that the rope, it has the heart and the unconditional love and the connection that we all have. And I think that's what makes this group so strong and everlasting. Thank you.
Thank you, Ryan. And Audrey Rouse is now going to say a little bit about what it was like to be a little out of our comfort zone in Spanish-speaking Puerto Rico.
Good morning. Okay. So not only did I have the pleasure to work with, spend the week with everyone in Wildfire, but I also had the opportunity to work with and learn from our Puerto Rican hosts. I was amazed by their ability to show so much love and kindness to a group of people they've never met before. At the Iglesia Presbiteriana de San Sebastián, the Presbyterian values mirrored those here in Wildwood. As pastors Greg and Kathy remind us every Sunday, life is short, so be quick to love and make haste to be kind to those who journey with us. This week I saw that our brothers and sisters in Puerto Rico live strictly by this welcoming value. So last Sunday, we went to La Iglesia Presbiteriana de San Sebastián, and we were warmly greeted by a group of ladies standing at the door, and I've never been kissed by so many strangers in my life as I was in this 10-minute period, and it was just really, really heartfelt, and we tried to mirror it today, but it's just like not the same. The only way I can really think of to describe it is kind of like, imagine seeing your grandmother after a year or so apart. She holds you close and embraces you and tells you how happy she is to see you. It's just a wonderful feeling, and I'm really blessed to have experienced this. We all just felt so loved and welcomed by everyone at the church, and I've learned that thousands of miles away in Puerto Rico, the Presbyterian Church binds us to other children of God, and the unbelievable Puerto Rican hospitality keeps us closely bonded. So on Monday, that was our first work day, and we were again greeted by a group of Presbyterian handymen. And most of the men spoke little to no English, but they didn't let that be a barrier to help us and to help us fulfill our mission from God. So I was working personally with a man who was teaching us how to use a hammer and chisel and to work with all the concrete to fill the windows, because we were destructing the 50-year-old windows and replacing them with newer windows in one of the dormitorios. So at first he was kind of reserved and kept to himself, but you know, we wanted to work, so we're like, hey, how can I help you? Let us help you. So he just, you know, seemed really pleased to have a group of people who wanted to help him, and so he taught us all how to do the work, and he taught us how to do everything, and you could just see the satisfaction in his face for just having seen us, you know, do his work. And again, when I would show people how to do everything he taught me, you just see him standing there and just smiling and just really pleased that what he taught me, I'm showing others, and we're all going to be able to help. So it was just truly beautiful to see how the Puerto Rican culture was built around helping other brothers and sisters, regardless of our backgrounds. Later that week, we spent time with the youth in Puerto Rico, playing games, eating our Puerto Rican prepared food, and reminiscing about the day's events and our workday. I was talking to Wildfire Youth on the way home about how we were amazed about how we had so much in common with the youth living so far away, and how friendly and welcoming they were to, again, a group of strangers. And for example, we both grew up watching Rugrats and Scooby-Doo. We all had the same weird, silly sense of humor. And we were all really eager to learn more about each other. There was one boy in particular who, his name was Manny. He's one of the youth in Puerto Rico, and there were a group of girls surrounding him, admiring his bracelets. So he just was handing them out. He gave every one of his bracelets away to all the girls. I just think that really shows just how they really enjoyed our company and just were willing to share everything with us. They understood that our time together is short, and for this, together we celebrated life and each other's company through gifts, fits of laughter, and appreciation for our similarities and differences. Overall, I would really like to thank God for our time together, learning from those in Puerto Rico this past week in our mission trip. Although we did not have much time together, we certainly were quick to love and made haste to be kind, to gladden the hearts of those who are our new Puerto Rican friends. Thank you.
Thank you, Audrey. And now you know a little more about how wonderfully God has blessed us in this church with truly, truly, truly wonderful young people. We're going to say, do our ceremony of blessing for our graduated seniors as we send them out into the world. So I'd like the seniors to come forward. And we did this at the first service as well. And some of our parents were at the first service, and some of our parents are at this service. So if you're the parents of one of our seniors, come on down. Come on,